Magandang araw po mga kababayan. Welcome po sa ika-isangdaan at labing anim na yugto ng Usapang Pinoy Podcast brought to you by Georgia Asian Times. Maraming salamat po sa inyong pakikinig. Ngayong araw na ito po, I am skipping our normal announcements and calendar of events dahil this is a special episode. Ito po ay isang tribute to our very own Honorary Consul General Raul Ray Donato, who, effective April 4th, 2026, has retired from the role of Honorary Consul General. Mr. Raul Ray Donato made history as the first Honorary Consul General of the Philippines in the United States, appointed on December 18th, 1988, by then Secretary of Foreign Affairs Raul Manglapos during the administration of Corazon Aquino. Over an extraordinary 37-year tenure, he became the longest-serving Honorary Consul General in Philippine history, serving under six Philippine presidents: Corazon Aquino, Fidel V. Ramos, Joseph Estrada, Gloria Macapagal Arroyo, Rodrigo Duterte, and Ferdinand Marcos Jr. Widely regarded as a unifying force within the Filipino-American community, Honorary Consul General Donato has been instrumental in fostering connection, collaboration, and service throughout Georgia and the southeastern United States. During his tenure, the Filipino population in Georgia grew from approximately 7,000 in 1988 to more than 53,000 by 2026. Despite the diversity of a community whose roots span more than 7,000 islands and over 120 languages, he successfully brought people together around a shared commitment to culture, service, and nation. Throughout the years of service, Honorary Consul General Donato mobilized humanitarian assistance for victims of natural disasters, supported displaced workers, assisted abused women, and responded to countless cases under the Philippine government's Attention to Nationals program. His leadership, compassion, and unwavering dedication earned him the deep respect, trust, and affection of Filipino-American community. For nearly four decades, he remained steadfast in his mission to serve, advocate for, and strengthen the ties between the Philippines and Filipinos across the Southeast. A distinguished multinational executive, Consul General Donato brings decades of leadership experience in international trade, the steel and energy sectors, and cross-cultural institutional management. His professional accomplishments, combined with his extraordinary public service, have left a lasting legacy of leadership, unity, and community. Ngayon po ako ay magbabalik upang ihandog sa inyo si Consul Donato. Welcome back mga kababayan. Ngayon po, please help me welcome ang ating pong Honorary Consul General, si Raul Ray Donato. Welcome po, Consul.
Hi, thank you. Thank you, Jane. Thank you for having me.
I am truly humbled and very grateful for honoring Usapang Pinoy with your presence despite your very busy schedule. So let's go ahead po and dive into our conversation. I already gave them a little bit of introduction before I got you in. So we will go ahead and ask you the questions.
All right.
What first drew you to take on the role of Honorary Consul General of the Philippines in Atlanta? And did you ever imagine it would become such a significant part of your life?
Well, you know, we are all from the Philippines. I mean, both of us anyway. You know, whether you immigrated here or you came as medical doctors or nurses, I came as a student to go to New York and get my master's degree in New York. And that was my purpose. And coming from the Philippines, I think most of us identify that in the olden days, and I think they still do it today, when you go to school, especially in grade school and high school, the Philippine flag is raised and you pledge allegiance to the Philippine flag. And, you know, I went to De La Salle College at that time and we did that every morning. So that kind of was impressed in my mind. So when I came to the U.S., first I lived in New York, and then I came to Atlanta. I celebrated Philippine Independence Day on June 12th, mm-hmm. on the day itself, in mm-hmm. my house. So I invited friends, and so we just, I think it was an excuse to throw a party anyway, but it was a lot of fun.
Right.
So a lot of my friends came, you know, my neighbors and whoever was available. I said, hey, we're having a party. It's Philippine Independence Day. And of course, a lot of these people, mostly neighbors and friends, they didn't know what is Philippine Independence Day all about. And so I told them about the Spanish colonization, the American coming in after Spain. So we had a party. Mm-hmm. And that kind of started what I thought was a celebration of the Philippine Independence Day. You know, after colonization of 450 years and then another 50 years of the United States,
right.
I thought it's a good time to celebrate this. That's really how it started. And somebody, a friend of mine who used to live in New York and now lives in London, he said, you're so patriotic. And I didn't think I really was patriotic. I just wanted to throw a party. That you should become the honorary consul.
So he endorsed you.
I said, what is an honorary consul? And he said, well, you represent the Philippine government. I said, well, I never knew that, I said. And so that's how it started. That's how I got involved in becoming the honorary consul of the Philippines in Georgia.
So that was in 1988.
Correct.
Yes. And so how was the Filipino community in Atlanta evolved? How has the Filipino community in Atlanta evolved and grown during your tenure? And what shifts have you witnessed in their needs and influence?
At that time, I moved to Atlanta in 1976, 77. And of course, the business that I was involved in, I was going to open the operations of the company I represented in the South. So Atlanta was selected. I proposed Charlotte, North Carolina, or Miami, Florida, or Atlanta, Georgia. And because of the airport here, the largest up to now, if I'm not mistaken, and the busiest, we decided to open an office in Atlanta in 1976-1977. At that time, I was not aware of the Filipino-American organizations here because I was new. Mm-hmm. But of course, I wanted to get in touch with them, wanted to get involved. And that's basically when I started throwing small Independence Day party, because it was a great excuse to meet the Filipino community to maybe notice that there's a new guy in town and he's throwing Independence Day parties. And so that's really how it started. And the Filipino-American community, I believe at that time, was less than 5,000 Filipino-Americans in Georgia. And they were all scattered all over the place. I barely met anyone during that period of time between 1976 to probably 1985. I was busy doing my work.
Your business,
and
yes.
I met a few, mostly doctors. Mm-hmm. One of the, doctors that I met was Dr. Cass Garcia. He was a really friendly doctor. And he approached me and said, I want to introduce you to the Filipino-American community. So he was instrumental in me getting to know some of the Filipino communities here. And that's really how it started. So less than 5,000. And of course, as we know now, we're, I think, over 50 to 60,000 Filipino-Americans here.
So it's 53,000.
Grown substantially.
Yes.
By word of mouth, climate conditions, It's basically more competitive to raise a family here. So I think it will continue to grow substantially in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yes, I believe that too. You always see some questions on the social media saying, my family is about to move to Atlanta. Do you have any suggestions of where we can get a house? You see that like
That's
every
right.
week. It's very true.
Yes.
So
yes, it's so true.
Of all your years in this role, what is one moment, a story maybe, or a person or an event that you'll carry with you for the rest of your life?
First of all, I didn't know what an honorary consul meant until I got involved in it. At that time, it was the ambassador was Emmanuel Peláez, who used to be the vice president of the Philippines. He was the ambassador. Mm-hmm. So when, you know, the process was just starting, he said, I heard that you wanted to represent the Philippines. I said, well, throwing Independence Day party, somebody suggested I should might as well represent the Philippines. And he said that when he was vice president, he made a decree, which was accepted by the administration at that time, that there will be no honorary consuls appointed in the United States. They wanted full consulates here, I assume, because of the, you know, the strong alliance between the United States and the Philippines, which continues today. So they wanted full consulates here. But he said, you know, to open a full consulate, it costs a lot of money. And so we have to rethink that we should open honorary consuls here. So I became basically the first honorary consul that was appointed in the United States in 1988. And that was, I didn't know that until when I was ending my career. So the honorary consul position is a pro bono, as we all know, position. And right. One of the most striking things that I always remember is when a Philippine citizen passes away and they want to ship the casket to the Philippines, a Philippine consulate has to seal it. Mm-hmm. So I had to seal all Philippine citizens that passed away whose remains were being shipped to the Philippines. I had mm-hmm. to go to the funeral parlors. I had to go to Delta Airlines with my paraphernalia mm-hmm. to seal the casket. And the reason for that is because they want to make sure that there's no contraband that's right. inside the casket. So I have to open the casket. I have to, you know, check
Respect.
It out.
Oh my
and
goodness.
Believe me, that stuck in my mind, because you can smell the, you know, the chloroform yeah. and right. all that is inside the casket. So
oh my goodness.
Sealing of the casket is one of them. And then the other one is visiting prisoners, Philippine citizens who are incarcerated for whatever reason they are in. And that was a striking memory for me when I first visited a prison here in Georgia. Mm-hmm. And then I got used to it. So I remember if they were wearing dark orange, that means the charges were serious, like murder. Mm. So they killed somebody. And then the light orange was basically the people who got involved in drugs or, you know, felony violations and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I learned things. And I also spoke with the inmates, why they are in jail and how do they feel about it. So that was another thing that I learned a lot. And of course, we have all these internet issues that come into the picture wherein we have, aging population here in Georgia and the Southeast, wherein they go to the internet, they meet this young, wonderful, beautiful Philippine ladies, and then they connect, and then all of a sudden they say they're all in love, and they go for a fiancé visa, and then they come here, and then after a year or two, for whatever reason it is, they separate, and that those issues come to the honorary consul. So right. There's a lot of issues that come into the picture. Those were a few of the things that I'll carry with me for the rest of my life. And it made me more understanding of the issues that the Philippines has when it comes to, you know, this type of difficult and challenging situations that come in. Those are the things that come to my mind.
So just a rough idea of, do you know how many caskets have you inspected all these years?
You mean how many cases or?
No, the funeral, the Filipinos who passed away that you had to seal the caskets.
Oh, sealing of the casket? Oh, yes. My gosh. Yeah. You know, I had to go from funeral to funeral, not only in Georgia. You know, this is required in northern Florida, South Carolina, and Tennessee, because there's no consular position there.
Right.
So I had to go to other states to the funeral parlor to seal the casket, because the casket cannot leave without my authentication.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's either the embassy in Washington, D.C. would send their people, or I would have to do it. And normally, I would do it because, you know, they would have to fly down here. They would have to stay in a hotel. And so they pressure me, you're our honorary consul. So why don't you go and do it? That's your job. And so
I did a
lot of casket sealing at that particular point. So there were a lot in the beginning. And then I, of course, when I make my reports, I would advise the embassy that it's too much. You know, I'm a one-man team. Of course, I had an office at that point. I had a staff that handled authentications, records, and things of that nature, because you need that backup when you get into this position. But sealing of the casket, you have to do it yourself. You have to go, you know, you get an email from the funeral parlors and saying we have a Philippine citizen that needs to go like tomorrow because the flight is tomorrow. Otherwise, they have to rearrange the flight again. So you have to do these things. And I've done a few of them, let me tell you, in the 37 years that I've done this job.
Oh, my goodness. I can just imagine. Ngayon po.
Yes.
What was the most difficult situation you have had to navigate as Honorary Consul General, whether a crisis, a policy change, or a community conflict, and what did it teach you?
Well, from a consular point of view, we really don't get involved in community, you know, there's a dispute with the community and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not basically a consular matter. But we get involved in it because you represent the Philippine government and I was involved in it. But to answer your question, when we have a typhoon in the Philippines, I remember Typhoon Haiyan,
yes.
We had to raise money, you know, through the various organizations to help out.
Right.
So every time there's a disaster in the Philippines, and I understand today, we had an earthquake in Mindanao, in Sarangani province,
oh
by the way. I think our good friend, Miss Arjo Turner, is from there. So when this, you know, natural disasters come into the picture, we try to raise funds for the needy in the Philippines. And that's a challenge because now we're going to ask money again from the community, raising funds here. And if it's, you know, if it's serious enough, we try to get as much, you know, support as we can get from all the different communities, not only in Georgia, but the surrounding southern states.
Right.
the COVID, for instance, that was very tough, mm-hmm. the COVID situation. And I do thank our Philippine nurses, Philippine Medical Association, for helping me in doing my work in trying to assist all the people who were sick. And not only that, there were a lot of people who were out of jobs. The H-1B visa, Philippine citizens who used to work in the hotels mm-hmm. all over Georgia right. and North Florida were out of jobs. Mm-hmm. So we had to raise funds, and I went through the community, and you have to have a good relationship with the Filipino-American community. That's the only source that I right. have when it comes to raising funds. We raised funds, and they were so generous. The community was so generous to give to these people who lost their jobs all of a sudden. They couldn't right. even go home. They didn't have any money to go home, and they were on a limited visa. So these are the tough challenges of being an honorary consul, especially we don't have any full consulate here in the Southeast.
Right.
It's either me or the honorary consul in Florida. Mm-hmm. So these are tough challenges when these occasions come to rise. And as far as community conflicts and things like that, that's natural in our Philippine community. We have conflicts and disagreements and different philosophies. And I thought I was like a person that tried to unite our Philippine community here in Georgia. Whether I've done that or not, I don't know. But it
yes,
looks
you
like,
have,
you know,
yes,
we
you
seem to be united in one way or, not, or
yes.
another. Jane, thank
yes.
you.
Yes, and then, yes. You know yeah. what, those two challenges that you mentioned that was really difficult, which is the first one is like the Typhoon Haiyan, but it also showed shining moments of your leadership as well as the community, because I believe you were able to raise something like if I'm not mistaken, $75,000 for the typhoon.
Yes, yes.
And just for a short period of time, like it's just a month or so.
Yes. Well, I remember I asked the Cathedral of Christ the King, as mm-hmm. you know, we're mostly Catholics, if they could assist me in saying a mass and then ask for contribution. And the Cathedral of Christ the King here through the Archdiocese mm-hmm. was kind enough to do that. So we had a cathedral mass to support the needy of Typhoon Haiyan.
Yeah.
And we raised a substantial amount of money, I'm proud to say anyway.
Yes.
But it's not really me. I just organize it.
Yes, but the community came together because of your leadership.
The community came together.
Yes.
You're correct. Yeah.
And then the second one, too.
Common.
Second one, too, is the COVID. And then because of that the H-1B visas, they lost their jobs. And that was ongoing for one whole month. And I believe you and the community, us, was able to put together, and people were... They found homes for them, temporary it may be, but they had shelter, and then you also provided food, meaning the community was bringing food to them, and then they also
yes.
were able to raise funds for their plane ticket to go home. So that's a lot. Like I said, it might have been difficult, but it was a shining moment for your leadership and the community.
Well, I don't know about the shining moment, but it was a moment of challenge. I can tell you that.
Yes.
So, but. We were able to do it. We were able to accomplish, and we, I was extremely happy that we were able to do this to help our fellow
yes.
Kababayans in the Philippines.
Yes.
Those are the challenges that come in when something happens in our mother country, and we need to help. And I hope that will continue, and I think it will as we move on
yes.
with the times here.
So what do you consider, Paul, that your greatest contribution to strengthening ties between the Philippines and the Atlanta Southeast region, economically, culturally, or diplomatically?
Well, there's many issues here, but frankly, there's the political side, the economic side, the cultural side, and of course the diplomatic side. And one of the targets of all embassies, Philippine embassies or consulates, is trade. You bring companies of wherever you are to the Philippines to invest, to create employment. That's one of the mandates of the president or whatever, whoever administration comes into the government. And so to do that, you have to expose companies in the South what the Philippines is all about. What can they offer? Mm-hmm. Do we have energy? Do we have, do we have a nice labor force? Is it competitive? Does the government offer technical schools for manufacturing and things of that nature? We tried to do that, but it was a challenge to do that. So what I did was recommend to the embassy, together with the other consuls, that we should have what we used to call Ambassador Consul General Tour. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that. It was a few years back.
Yes, I do.
So we brought a lot of people to the Philippines through this venue of tourism and then exposing them to trade and industry in the Philippines. And we did that for about close to about 5 to 10 years. So we brought business people, Filipino-American communities, and on the other side, the receiving side, the Philippine side, they would have their trade associations meet us on the agricultural side, on the industrial side. There would be questions and answers as to how to develop businesses in the Philippines. And so we would try to bring as many business people as we can as part of this Ambassador Consul General Tour. Now it's still going on, but I think now they call it the VIP tour on that.
Yes, I believe so.
That was like a Philippine-Atlanta bridge that we did. And of course, as you know very well, on the cultural side, we had, this Filipino-American week that we have 7 or 8 days of promoting our culture, our education. We visit with the MLK celebration, ringing on the bell, and exposing the Philippines as part of the community in here. And last year, we had a meeting with two of the cabinet members of President Marcos' regime who came here. Secretary Estrella was here, agrarian reform, and Secretary Laurel of the Department of Agriculture was here. And these people never came to Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes.
So I'm so glad they came here. And so we exposed them that Georgia is an agricultural economy. Mm-hmm. And the Philippines is basically an agricultural economy. Because of that, we exposed the blueberry production here, that we could expose blueberry in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. And for your information, there was a trade delegation that brought blueberry farmers to the Philippines just about 5 or 6 months ago.
Oh,
and
wow.
They presented a lot of blueberries in the Philippines that you could make pies out of it. So these are the soft areas that we try to promote. And hopefully that will continue in the near future.
Right.
So that's what we have been doing over the last 10 years. I wish we could have done more, but at least we started the process of doing that.
Right, right. So the honorary title can be misunderstood by many, but people don't know that it's unpaid. It's a voluntary position. What kept you motivated and committed for so long without the trappings of a formal diplomatic post?
Yes, it is a pro bono position. As a matter of fact, you pay money to, when you look for a job, you expect the company to pay you for services rendered. Here, you do services rendered without pay, and you pay money to do those services from your pocket. So
That's
it's true. A lose-lose situation in that sense from an economic point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives you, it gave me satisfaction that I was doing something for the country.
Right.
As a Filipino citizen, that, you know, I came here when I was 24. And, you know, most of us, at least on my side, we often wonder, what can we do for my motherland, mm-hmm. where I came from? This is the first generation that come here. The second generation may not understand that because they're born in the U.S. and they become U.S. citizens. But the first generation, the older generation, who come here, the ones who migrate here, says, hey, I have a great job here in the States. I have a home. I have a nice car. I have a nice living. I wish I could help my brothers and sisters in the Philippines. The honorary consul position gives you that opportunity if you know how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fulfilling for me of what I did.
Yes.
I think I assisted with the help of the Philippine community. You can't do this by yourself. Many, many people that were in need. And I think you are a testimony to that, Jake, because
yes.
you helped me a lot in a lot of our issues in the latter years. But even before you, there were a lot of Filipino-Americans that were helping me in doing my job. And I am grateful to them as we move along the line. This is a very fulfilling job if you have the time to do it.
And the resources.
It became almost a full-time job for me. It's a good thing I had a managerial position with the company that I used to work for, that I had a staff to order around and do the work, and I just look at the profit and loss statement. If we were making money, I had the time to do the Philippine consular work. I had an assistant, I had a secretary, I had a conference room. So that kind of helped me a lot in doing my thing.
Yes.
And that's how I lasted for 37 years, basically.
Yeah. Now, what do you hope your successor prioritizes, and what wisdom would you pass on to whoever steps up into this role in Atlanta?
Well, whoever is going to take my place, and I believe they have a nominee, I will help that person, whoever that person will be and who will be appointed, to do at least the basic preliminary of the job. And I hope that it will continue. He or she will continue the legacy that we started, as being, as representing the government from an economic point of view, from a political point of view, from a cultural point of view, and promoting the interests of the Philippine government here in Georgia and most of the Southeast. So it's a very challenging position. It takes a lot of time, and it needs help from the Philippine American community here, mm-hmm. because you need the community to help you in achieving this objective. So my advice is continue the legacy that we started with the Philippine community. And I think that it will continue if we advise and support the new honorary consul in the years to come.
Yes, Paul. I believe that everybody will be supporting this new consul because, as you said, we are united and we love our country and we want to succeed. So I hope this is going to make us stronger and make us more united. Yun lang po.
Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed. Indeed, Jane. Indeed.
So because like I've always told people, and people know this about me, that representation matters, and I don't like it when the Philippines is not represented because we have to have a voice. I always tell people that we have to have somebody in the rooms where decisions are made, because if we are not on the table, then we become a part of the menu.
That's correct. And that's very benevolent of you to say that, because each of us that have Philippine blood, and that's almost all of us, we need to do our thing for our country and not forget them, because we have a lot of issues in the Philippines. Over the last 10, 15 years, we are a democratic country, but we continue to struggle in trying to, you know, achieve the goals that we want to achieve in order for the Filipino to have a better life. Mm-hmm. That has been the target of the government for many, many years. But we seem to be on the track, but then we get off track. And as you read the newspapers today, we have more challenging issues with the Philippine government today. The current administration, I believe, is doing their best to handle these issues. But there's always some problems that come up, when issues of this nature, like corruption, comes into the picture, and it affects the livelihood of the people. And of course, international crises, right, like the Iran war, causing energy prices to go up, food prices to go up, the peso depreciating, the U.S. dollar. All of this mix come into the picture, and who gets hurt?
The people.
It's really the poor people in the Philippines.
That's
and
very true.
In the last few years, we were getting better. The per capita per GDP of the Philippines is going up to sort of a middle income type of a GDP. And then the international crisis come. The corruption situation comes into the picture, so the credibility of the government goes down again, and the foreign direct investment goes down, which we need in order to create jobs. And so we are in a conundrum at this point, where to go, how to go. And so we fall down and we get up again and try it again.
It's like a vicious circle.
We can do this.
Yeah. So my last question, po, is, as you close this chapter, what does retirement look like for you? And is there a cause, a project, or a dream you've finally given yourself permission to pursue?
You know, that's a good question, because, you know, people tell me happy retirement. But, you know, I really, when you so-called retire, you retire from a paying job.
Right.
When you retire from a non-paying job, of which you paid in order to get into the job, it's not really a retirement. It's just time that is given to you that you did not have. That is the positive aspect of it. So now I have time to walk my dogs. At that time, I didn't have the time to walk my dogs, and my wife would complain, say, "Why don't you walk the dog?" I said, "I don't have the time because I have to go seal a casket, or I have to go to the airport. I have to pick up this gentleman, or I have to pick up a congressman that's coming in from the Philippines. Now I have the time to walk my dog." So I have free time, which is good for me at this stage of my life. And I also learned one thing. I got closer to the Filipino-American community, and wonderful people. Met so many wonderful people, including you, Jane.
You,
and so, you know, I would not have had that opportunity if I was not the honorary consul. So I appreciate that very much at this, you know, the last phase of my life. You know, I'm already in my 80s at this point. So and the Asian community here in Georgia, they are so wonderful. People like Lee Wong, the APAC group, the Asia Pacific region. Mm-hmm. I met all of them, and I was introduced to them.
Right.
And we are Asians. We are Asian Americans, and that's a very important segment of the population of the United States, especially in a democratic system that we have in here for the vote. So one of the things that I always say is, hey, guys, why don't you run for Congress? Why don't you run for mayor? Why don't you run for the legislature here in the state of Georgia? We have Marvin Lim in here, who was elected, and I believe he's still the representative of the state in the state legislature. Mm-hmm. So we're proud of Marvin being elected in that position. But I wish maybe a Filipino-American will run as mayor of Sandy Springs or mayor of Atlanta. Those are the things that I want to push on so that we can be part of the system of the United States as Filipino-Americans. I encourage the Asian community, not only the Filipino-American community, but the Asian community, to run for office and be part of the system of this adopted country that we have, which is a great country, by the way.
And that's not impossible, Paul, because there's a lot of potential leaders out there who can do that.
Yes.
We already have a judge. We already have somebody in the Department of Labor. We already have a judge in one of the counties, and then there's a lot of prominent leaders out there that who can, and even in our very own community, we have a lot. We have a lot of potential.
Yes, and I think we started the trend, and I think that hopefully that trend will continue, and that will be a wonderful transition of where we are to where we ought to be as Asian Americans in the Southeast at this point.
So it's a very positive thing. With that said, I will let you go, Paul, and we will see you around. We'll see you on Friday for the
Philippine Independence Day. Indeed, Jane.
Yes,
thank you so much for the interview. I appreciate it, and
thank
we'll
you,
see you soon.
Opo. Mga kababayan, ako po ay nagpapasalamat sa ating guest na si Honorary Consul General Raul Ray Donato. Usapang Pinoy and the whole Filipino-American community are very grateful for being with us today. As we conclude our conversation, it is clear that Mr. Raul Ray Donato's legacy cannot be measured simply by years of service, titles held, or milestones achieved. For 37 years, he has been a steady presence, a trusted leader, and a unifying force for the Filipinos across Georgia and the Southeast. Through times of celebrations and times of crisis, he answered the call to serve with humility, compassion, and unwavering dedication. The Filipino community has grown tremendously during his tenure, but perhaps his greatest accomplishment is not the size of the community, it is the strength of the bonds that connect it. He reminded us that no matter where we come from, what language we speak, or how far we are from home, we are stronger when we stand together. Mr. Donato, your leadership has touched thousands of lives, often in ways that may never be fully known. The respect you have earned, the relationships you have built, and the example you have set will continue to inspire future generations of Filipino Americans. On behalf of a grateful community, thank you for your vision, your service, your sacrifice, and your steadfast commitment to the people you have faithfully served for nearly four decades. Your legacy is not only written in history, it lives in the hearts of the people whose lives you have changed. For 37 years, you were more than a consul general. You were a bridge between nations, a champion for your people, and a reminder that leadership is ultimately about service. By that measure, Mr. Donato, your impact is immeasurable. Maraming salamat po, Consul General Donato. Yun lang po mga kababayan. Hanggang sa muli, paalam muna sa ngayon. Matalebat kami pa'y ayaw.